Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Right now, we're going to visit with Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the RFA, Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time. And, hey, finally get to put a face with the newspaper articles I get to see about you.
Yeah, that's a great thing about this event is it's a fun place to put names with faces.
Well, you've been quite active. The RFA has been quite active battling and, you know, putting out the Renewable Fuels Association and the benefits of it. I'm not quite sure why it's just not at every pump, and that's a main source, but that's another topic for another day. But let's talk about 2022 and growth in the industry. As the RFA president and CEO, are you happy with the year?
I'll say 2022 has been one of the best years we've had in recent memory for the industry. In terms of profitability, it was a good year for the industry. In terms of demand, we saw very strong demand for ethanol this year, both domestically and in terms of export demand. And we're seeing growth in the consumption of higher blends of ethanol. E15 especially saw a real boost this year, especially over the summertime. We had an emergency waiver in place that allowed E15 sales to continue through the summer. And we just saw a report out from the Department of Energy yesterday that confirmed consumers gravitated toward E15 where it was available this year because it was cheaper. And it was cleaner for their vehicle. And so we're seeing a real positive response to E15, record sales of E15 in 2022, and we expect to see that continue to grow moving forward.
Nobody wants inflation, and I'm sure you guys don't want higher gas prices in general, but that's actually been a great advertising plan for renewable fuels because I've seen it 50, 60, 70 cents cheaper in some areas.
Yeah, that's right. We did see E15 really all summer long, all year long. It's been priced 25, 30 cents below regular gasoline on average. And at some points during the summer, you're right, it was 50, 60 cents, sometimes more than that in some locations. And that has given us a real opportunity to talk to consumers about the economic benefits, about the cost-saving benefits of using higher blends of ethanol. This year, ethanol has been as much as a dollar cheaper a gallon than gasoline. So obviously, if you're blending more ethanol into gasoline, it's going to help lower the price of that finished product.
Is education still a part of this? Because I admit it, I was at a pump. The hard part is there's inconsistency depending on what part of the country you're in, what gas station you go to, what chain you go to, because everybody kind of carries different things. And some place, I think it was the first place I ever had seen it was New Ulm. They actually had these giant stickers, and I'd never seen them before, describing what you can do and what you can't. But is educating drivers out there, hey, if your car is newer than 2001, you can use some of these products?
Yeah, that continues to be a major priority for us is just simple education. And you're right, anybody who's driving a vehicle that was built in 2001 or later is legally approved to use E15. There's been no issues whatsoever. We've had billions of miles driven on E15. It's a safe fuel. It's a proven fuel. But that is one of the issues we face is there are different rules in different states in terms of what labeling has to appear on the pump. And then retailers have different ideas of how they want to advertise a fuel. And so that can create some confusion and uncertainty in the eyes of consumers at times. So it does remain a big focus for us to just remind consumers what E15 is and what the approved uses for the fuel are. And then it sells itself because, I mean, again, the price difference is usually quite compelling.
Well, and I'm sure there's probably a couple of different answers for this, but we now have the temporary permit to do the E15. But I think there's a lot of people that, you know, just the common folks that maybe are not deep into the weeds in this. I just wonder, why can't we just do this? Why can't we just do it year round and be done with it? It's cleaner. It's better for the environment. We're supposed to have a better environment president. So why? What's the stumbling block?
Well, it's nonsense, and that's a fair question for people to ask. There's no good reason is the short answer. There's no good reason that we can't have E15 available all summer long. It's really the result of regulations that were written 30 years ago or more when nobody ever envisioned that would be, you know, selling E15. They always envisioned at that time that 10% ethanol would be the ceiling. That would be the maximum that would ever be able to consume in the U.S., and so they weren't contemplating E15, and so it didn't end up in the regulations. Now we got to go back and try and change the law to include E15. And as you know, changing the law in this day and age is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, there's another industry that might not like that so much, but I think everybody knows that. Talk about the set rules and why we have to wait till the last minute to get these set out.
Well, that's another question. That the short answer is there's no good reason for waiting as long as we've had to wait to get the RFS set rule out. But we are being told that by November 30th, we should be seeing the proposal from EPA to establish the renewable fuel standard requirements for next year, 2023, and very likely 2024 and 2025 as well. And so this would be the first time ever that EPA is proposing volumes for multiple years at the same time. And we think that's good because it should provide multi-year certainty and hopefully means they'll be on time when it comes time to propose the next rules.
Talk about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. How has that impacted the ethanol and renewable fuels industry?
Well, there were a number of provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act that we think are going to be very helpful and very supportive for the industry. Tax credits in particular. There's a tax credit for carbon capture and sequestration, which is a big opportunity for ethanol. There's a tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel production, and we see that as a major market opportunity for ethanol as well, and several other things. I guess one of the other big things in that bill was a $500 million grant program for more infrastructure to distribute higher blends like E15 and E85, basically paying for the installation of that infrastructure at retail stations.
One last question, just so I'm not missing something, because there's always all sorts of court hearings and different things going on. Besides waiting for the set rules to come out, what's on the front burner right now that you're waiting for?
Yeah, in terms of litigation, there's always litigation around the renewable fuel standard. And what's going on right now is all of those small refineries that had their exemptions denied are now suing EPA, saying those exemptions were wrongly denied and are trying to get exempted from their requirements to blend renewable fuels. So there's several cases pending there, but we are confident that EPA is going to stick to its guns on denying those exemptions, and we think the courts are going to follow through and verify that or affirm that EPA made the right decision.
And then let's end on a positive note. Let's talk about 2023. What's coming up for renewable fuels?
Yeah, we expect a bright future and another great year for ethanol in 2023. We expect to see continued growth and expansion in E15 and E85. We're seeing those investments in sustainable aviation fuel and new uses for ethanol really moving forward, and exports is another area where we're seeing real growth and expect to see that continue in 2023.
Now you just got to get India and China and those markets and then watch it explode.
If we get India, Mexico, and China opened up, that would be a game changer for the ethanol market.
Ethanol and also our world. I mean, it's a cleaner burning fuel, and there's no doubt that we could, the air quality would be much better.
That's absolutely the case, and that's why countries like India, especially, are looking at the benefits of using more ethanol. They're talking about going to 20% blends, E20 in India, and certainly they need some help to fulfill that demand and would be happy to help them.
Supply chain, any kind of issues there that you're seeing?
Yeah, we've had major challenges in transportation logistics this year. The threat of a rail strike has been something that we've been paying really close attention to. More than 70% of the ethanol we produce is moved by rail. So if the rails shut down, that's a devastating day for the ethanol industry. So we've been following that very closely. And then low water levels on the Mississippi River have also been a challenge because we do move a fair amount of ethanol down the Mississippi River to New Orleans for export. And then there's, trucking issues as well. There's been a shortage of drivers, and that's created some headwinds for us too. So transportation logistics have been more challenging this year than probably any year in the past for the ethanol industry.
Two questions. One would be for somebody listening right now and they're a proponent for ethanol, maybe they want to get it year-round sales. What can they do?
Well, the easiest thing they can do is next time they go to a retail gas station that's not selling E15 or E85, talk to the clerk behind the counter, talk to the owner, talk to the manager of that station and say, hey, I'd stop by here more often if you guys sold E15 or E85. That's something every consumer has the ability and power to do. The other thing they can do is pick up the phone or go on the website of their elected officials and continue to encourage them to promote and advance renewable fuels.
Final thing, I know you guys got a lot of stuff going on, so how can people catch up?
Yeah, the best way is our website, ethanolrfa.org. And then for people who use social media, of course, we've got Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and everything else. And that's a great way to stay up to date on what's happening in the ethanol industry.